The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell DC, interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. Indeed, I'm live in a very different and very special venue for you today. I'll tell you about that in just a second. We're here, as we always are. The number that you're going to call in to ask a question is a little changed. It's 202-840-7935. That's 202-840-7935. Give me a call. And love to talk to you on any subject that you have in mind. And listen, I want to remind you then, when we're not on the air, you can always get a hold of me by simply going to RozellCare.com or DrTomRozell.com. Or if you want somebody to talk to you from the Rozell Center, real simple, just call 703-698-7117. Having said that, where am I? I'm at the Arlington County Fair. We're actually inside the Thomas Jefferson Hall, and come down and visit us. We're going to be here. My staff will be here for the rest of the afternoon. Love to shake hands with you. Love to meet you. Love to answer your questions personally. You know, if you've had something that's been on your mind and you don't want to do it on the radio, but you'd like to do it, you know, face to face, hey, this is an opportunity. Come down and get it done. The program that we're going to talk about is something very interesting, something that way too many of you suffer from. It's called tinnitus. You know, that grumbling, that high-pitched sound, that low-pitched sound, that cricket feeling in your ears, all those things. Well, that's the deal today. We're going to talk about that, but more importantly, what you can do about it. And not only that, we're going to present a whole evening on the subject this Wednesday evening, the 24th, at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax. Your presenter and my guest today, none other than Dr. Jerry Cowart. Dr. Cowart, welcome to the program again.
Thank you for having me. It's a fun time here at the Arlington Fair, so I'm glad to be here and be on the radio with you guys.
Hey, it's cool. So you've been down here for a couple of days. A lot of people milling around here, hundreds and hundreds of folks. And, you know, I've always enjoyed fairs. We used to go to the Fairfax County Fair and always do an information presentation for people to come by. And we're doing it for you guys and making sure that that you get out and meet the community. People get to see who you are, shake hands with a lot of people. And if you have a question, this is an opportunity for everybody to do that. So we're at the Arlington County Fair, and I think it's open till early evening. So come on down and say hello. Dr. Cowart, let's get into the subject a little bit about tinnitus. You know, sounds that, you know, drive people crazy. I mean, sometimes they are really ridiculous. You got crickets in your ears, and sometimes they sound like sirens, and sometimes there's just a whirring sound. Static electricity, people describe even waves, like you're sitting next to an ocean, buzzing and so forth. But as it comes down to it, there are several different types of tinnitus, and it doesn't really tell you where they're at, but I'm going to get into it and kind of break them apart. Let's get into that a little bit relative to differentiating the presentations. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the general realm, broad spectrum of tinnitus, there's two main types. There's subjective and objective. Basically, you have, can you hear it just by yourself? Or if someone is doing, like using a stethoscope, can they also hear the tinnitus? So the biggest issue that's most common for people is the type where only you, the patient, are experiencing that tinnitus yourself. That's the most common. About 99% of all tinnitus reported is like that. Unfortunately, you know, tinnitus is a little bit more complicated because, as you mentioned, there's several types. There's the high pitch ringing, there's the low pitch roaring, you can have the hissing, the crickets, you know, all those different things. And each one means, you know, potentially different issues that could be going on in the body. And so that's what makes tinnitus so complex, because there's so many different types and so many different causes due to it.
You know, it's very interesting because people come in that have suffered with tinnitus for years and years. Unfortunately, we're very successful at dealing with it. But the important piece is being able to identify the type of tinnitus. And it actually can be subcategories down even further than that. We can talk about a neurological disorder. We can talk about a structural piece that's causing the issue. It even can go to the place of tinnitus being caused by blood flow irritation. You know, we have these major arteries that go up our neck and the back of our neck, and they come to the base of the skull. And sometimes you hear a whooshing sound. That's a sign that you really got to get it checked out, because that could be blood vessel. That could be aneurysmal. And it gives the practitioner a kind of a heads up and said, hey, listen, you got to check this out, because, you know, there may be more of a problem than just a buzzing or a pulsing or an ocean wave or something of that nature. But I want to get into that a little bit more. And, you know, you've made a comment about you can actually hear it. Somebody else can hear it, not just the patient. The patient suffers with it, but the practitioner can actually hear it. How do they do that? You said with a stethoscope. Is there any other means of listening to that? And if they can hear it, how do you differentiate it from there?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, the main way would be like a stethoscope, and that's usually going to be what you talked about with like the whooshing sound with any kind of cardiovascular type issues. So you'd be able to use a stethoscope as the practitioner to check some major arteries and vessels in and around the ear to be able to check for that. You know, there can also be related pulse issues as well that not necessarily you're hearing for, but you're also palpating as the practitioner as well, that can be also indicative of that type of whooshing sound that you're talking about.
You know, over the years, 45 years of practice, I've had hundreds and hundreds of patients come in and complain of some sort of tinnitus, this craziness in the ears. And we've learned to break it down. The fortunate thing is that the majority of tinnitus problems are self-limiting, meaning they either go away or they go down to a place where the patient doesn't hear them anymore. They kind of put up with it. And there's a piece of the brain called the RAS, which is the reticular activating system, that allows us not to perceive sounds. Like if we buy a house near an airport, for example, initially we hear the planes coming in and out, then within a month, you'd rarely hear them, or by a train, same type of thing. That's that RAS system, but it goes to other problems. So we become insensitive sometimes to the symptom. That's the good news and also the bad news, because now we put up with, and we shouldn't have to put up with things.
Right.
Is there a more common tinnitus problem, a more common sound than, you know, one over the other?
Yeah, I find that the more common one would be like the high-pitched ringing sound, because of a variety of different issues. It can be due to actual structural components within the cervical spine or the neck, or within the cranial system within the skull, or also within the temporal mandibular joint within the jaw. It can also be caused by extra fluid in the ears, allergies. There's a lot of different pieces that can cause that. But I would say that the high-pitched ringing would be the most common. And also that can be caused by overall hearing loss due to older age or injury or overexposure to loud sounds.
Yeah, and we do see that very much with a lot of older people, that they start having tinnitus issues. And we're going to get into, in the second half of the program, we're going to talk about some biochemical and organic reasons why these things come about. And they're very interesting. Most people wouldn't even begin to suspect that, but in fact that they do show up. You know, you talked about subjective and objective patterns, you know, the head or ear noises that are perceivable to the patient. But what I've learned over time is that all the sounds are somewhat perceivable to others as well. They just have to be looked at the right way. They have to be measured the right way. Sometimes you can measure them with graphing. Sometimes it's just, as you said earlier, taking a stethoscope and put it near the ear and see if you hear them as well. And then that differentiates the pattern. Let's talk a little bit about how these things come about, Dr. Cowart. You know, you've had a bunch of experience with this. You know, what are the triggers? What are the things that happen to people that actually cause these things to present?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of triggers. That's kind of the blessing and the curse with tinnitus, is that tinnitus itself is always a symptom and never an individualized disease pattern. So it's always something that happens due to something else. As I mentioned before, you know, a really common one would be overexposure to loud noises. So people who may, you know, work in the airline industry, for instance, or who are like constant concert goers with the loud music, or musicians. Those are typical ways to have overexposure to loud music. We have the, you know, the elderly population, where, you know, long-term over a period of time, where you have the breakdown of neurological patterns. Basically, the whole point of that is destroying the hair cells within the ear.
The cilia.
Yes. That help the, response to the sound signal that happens within the ear. So that's a main contributing factor to it. But there's a lot of other patterns too. As I mentioned, there was structural components. You can have misalignments in the upper portion of the neck or within the cranium that can distort the structural components within the middle and inner ear. There's viral patterns that can always be talked about as well. There's the biochemistry that you mentioned we're going to get into later with some allergic patterns. And there's a whole bunch of issues that can cause tinnitus.
You know, the interesting thing is that when you're talking about hearing loss and the predisposition, the flag that tells you you got a problem, most people aren't even aware of. And a lot of that comes from the damage that you suggested with loud music, loud sounds, and so forth. Continued exposures, you know, generally above 110 decibels, that on an ongoing basis. The sounds, for example, with rock music back in the day, my generation. But the perception is this. You hear this, all of a sudden, this high-pitched sound that's there, and then it dies down. That's the sound of those hair follicles that you're talking about, called cilia, that are dying. And that leads to loss of hearing over a period of time. And pretty soon, the tonal awareness, if you will, is people put up with it. They don't realize what it is. Sometimes it happens continually for a day or three or five or a week, and then it goes away. Then more of it happens again, and these things begin to die. And a lot of your doctors traditionally will tell you, well, that's normal. But how about when we get into sounds, Dr. Cowart, like a hissing sound or a cricket sound? Does that give you a distinction relative to where it's coming from or what the triggering mechanisms are?
Yeah, I see those are more of like a fluid buildup. So basically something that is not specifically a neuro deficit like the hearing loss would be, because basically it's a fluid that's kind of sloshing around and kind of like popping, similar to like a pot on the stove where the water kind of starts to boil. So you have those kind of crickety, boiling, popping, swishing sounds that's going to be usually more from like a fluid buildup due to usually like a inflammation process, like allergies or viral infection, something like that.
You know, you have an irregular beat, if you will. It's called a pulsating or a pulsatile tinnitus type of thing. I want to cover that. We're coming up to a break. This is a very interesting subject, and I think that our listeners are going to gain a lot of it, a lot of information from it. Don't go away, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are at the Arlington County Fair. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I am. We're at the Arlington County Fair today. Yep, you may ask, what are we doing down there? Just meeting people and putting out information, and love to meet you. Why don't you come by and say hello to us? We have our doctors down here. We have staff. Come on down and shake our hands, ask questions. A lot of you want to, you know, ask face-to-face instead of over the radio or any other way. This is an opportunity. Make it happen. My guest today, Dr. Jerry Cowart. We're talking about that ringing in your ear, that buzzing, that whooshing sound, that wave, that, you know, that obnoxious thing that some of you have been putting up forever. And, you know, Dr. Cowart, welcome back. You know, the interesting thing is that there's something like 55 to 60 million people that suffer from tinnitus. And a
right.
lot of it is devastating. It's really disabling, you know, to so many people. How disabling, how impactful can this actually be to people?
Oh, extremely. So as you mentioned, you know, roughly 50 million people, that's roughly 15 to 25% of the general population that suffers from some sort of tinnitus. And I think roughly around 8% of that is actually completely debilitating for individuals. You know, at the end of the day, it can be just as bad of just a constant annoyance where it makes it hard to focus at work or at school or whatever. So that in of itself can be debilitating, but because of the fact that it relates to the inner ear, and because it in of itself is a symptom that usually presents itself with other findings. Oftentimes people can have vertigo with it as well, or pain patterns as well. So that in combination with all those other symptoms can really bring someone down to where they're really not able to function in day-to-day society. It can be really debilitating.
So let me ask you a question. How often is this strictly a neurological signal, a symptom that says, hey, you got something else going on, you better pay attention to it? And the next question on top of that, traditionally in the allopathic community, how often are those signs missed relative to the importance of something that is far more serious than just an obnoxious sound or a hissing or a whistling or a high-pitched something-something?
Well, if you want to get into the essence of chiropractic, basically any kind of symptomatology can be related back to the nervous system, obviously. But basically when dealing with tinnitus, oftentimes it is a neurological involvement to some degree, whether it's a true damage or destruction of those cilia hair cells, which is part of your neurology, or other structural components that is also affecting their neurology within that area. But then because of such, it oftentimes does get overlooked, because I think on the medical side of things, most of the time when someone has tinnitus, they only look at one of two things. Either are they elderly and potentially just have hair cell damage, or if not, then they usually say, oh, it's probably just fluid in the ears. Here's a diuretic to help calm down the fluid. And if neither one of those two works, then oftentimes the true root cause ends up getting overlooked, and people are told that you're just going to have to live with this, unfortunately, which is, you know, really sad to see, because it can be really helped depending on what the root cause really is.
It's unfortunate. You're right on the mark with that. It's, you know, people put up with, and unfortunately, in the traditional settings, they don't understand the symptomological representations. There's, you know, I think I was reading an article about a month or so ago, and they were saying somewhere about 180 to 200 different conditions have a symptom of a tinnitus type of presentation. That's
sure.
Ridiculous. So you need to be able to differentiate. It's not something that you put up with. It's something that says, hey, there's an issue here. In the second half of the program, I'm going to get into two major organ systems that are involved in tinnitus presentations. And if you understand that, they're very easily treatable. You just have to make sure you understand the mechanisms as a physician, as a doctor, and to be able to turn this thing around. And it's very, very doable. We're here at 202-840-7935. We had to change our call-in number for this weekend show, a little glitch in the technical piece up in the studio, but 202-840-7935. Give us a call. If you'd like to see us in person, it's an opportunity today. Just come right down to the Arlington County Fair and say, hey, and we're, as you walk into the Thomas Jefferson Community Hall, as you walk through the door, we're right there. We're sitting right at the front, and you'll be able to find us and be able to talk to us immediately. So come on down. I'd love to shake your hand. I'd love to see you. I'd love to see what's going on with you and make things better for you. As they say, this Wednesday evening, the 24th, Dr. Jerry Cowart will be your host, your presenter at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. Love to have you as our guest. All you have to do to register is go to rosellecare.com, scroll down, and hit the button that says register here or register now, and do that. If you'd like to do it differently, you can call the office at 703-698-7117. We're coming up to a break. We have a whole lot more for you. We're going to teach you how to fix this thing and this obnoxious situation. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We have a fascinating program and a fascinating, different, interesting venue. Where are we? We're at the Arlington County Fair in Arlington, right down to TJ Thomas Jefferson. We're actually in the Thomas Jefferson Hall, and we're the first booth as you walk in. We're here just answering questions and introducing our staff, you know, to the community. We'd love to meet you. I'll be here for a while. If you have an opportunity, come on by and shake my hand. Love to meet you. We're talking about something that is very disabling when it's ugly. Fortunately, most of it is self-limiting, but many conditions just linger and linger and linger and linger. we're talking about tinnitus, you know, that sound in your ear that just doesn't go away and you think you're the only one that can hear it. Well, if it's examined properly, it can be auscultated. What does that mean? That means if you take a listening device, you know, those little tubes that doctors have on their neck and put in their ears and, you know, they want to look at your heart and your blood vessels. Well, if you put it up against the ear, most often a doctor can also hear the tinnitus. Now, how many of you have gone to a physician and have been examined for tinnitus, ringing your ear, whooshing sound, clicking, crunching, cricket sounds, whatever they are, and the doctor has failed to try to listen to find out, is it something that can be heard? And there's a breakdown, as we talked about the first half of the program, what it is. But there are conditions if you lose your hearing. Dr. Coward, again, welcome back. You were talking about hearing loss, particularly as people getting older, exposure to sounds, jet right. engines, things of that nature, just heavy metal music back in the day when I was in college. The cilia, these hair cells that are in the inside of the ear, they get destroyed. And there's a big high-pitched sound, and then it goes away, and that says it's dying. Meniere's disease also is a problem, and it's inside the vestibular portion of the ear and the brain that causes it. The vestibular area causes you to maintain balance or lose your balance. So often when you have a true Meniere's problem, not only are you hearing all kinds of weird sounds, but you end up not being able to stand up. And then we can go into stress patterns. And this is the thing that I wanted to talk about, stress and anxiety, depression. We're seeing a whole lot of that today as a result of post-COVID syndrome. And but we're also seeing is tinnitus as attributed to it. The tinnitus symptom can generate the feeling of despair and anxiety if it lasts a long time. But also the other end is true. The relationship of other things causing the depression and anxiety and other systems causing inflammatory reactions can cause this. Fortunately, we've come up with some ways to treat this. But Dr. Let's get into, I mentioned in the beginning last part of the program twice that there are conditions, functional conditions, if you will. That means things aren't working quite the way they are. They're not at a pathological state that can cause these sounds. And one of them is really high sound, high pitched sound, and the other one is a low droning sound. And I said that they relate to different organ systems. Let's get into that. I know you and I both see them on a day-to-day basis. You know, shed a little light on the subject.
Sure. So, yeah, as you mentioned, generally you can classify these tinnitus sounds as the high pitch or the low pitch sounds. The two main organ systems that you've alluded to are the liver and the kidney. So with the kidney function, you're going to be dealing with those lower pitch type tinnitus sounds. With your liver function, or I guess we're talking dysfunction here, with the liver dysfunction, that would be more of your high pitch sounds. So far as the kidney is involved, typically that has to deal with the sodium and fluid balance within your vascular system, the cardiovascular system, within your arteries. So when the kidney is not working appropriately, you have an imbalance of salt to water ratio. So it basically changes the blood flow, the blood pressure, and things of that nature, which in turn goes back to what we talked about before with those low pitch tinnitus sounds being kind of like that wishy low pitch due to the vascularization in and around the ear.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I was going ahead and talk about the liver function with the high pitch as well. We know that if there's any kind of liver sluggishness, the inability to detox, whether, you know, the different phases of detoxification in the liver, high cholesterols, any of those forms of liver dysfunction, we see that that can cause a lot of the high pitch ringing as well. And, you know, there's acupuncture pathways that can also further explain how liver affects that as well, which, you know, any of our acupuncturists can discuss.
You know, I want to hold and put a bookmark on what we're talking about. We have a couple callers, and I would like to take this one particularly. Hey, Chris, this is Dr. Roselle. How can we help you?
Oh, hi. Yes, I have been diagnosed with tinnitus, and I get a swishing noise in my left ear. I have lost a small hearing in that ear. So they gave me an MRI because they said I possibly had a brain tumor. So I did not have a brain tumor. They referred me to a neurologist. They said I have a half cella, which holds the pituitary gland, I guess.
Yeah, cella turcica is the whole name for it.
Okay. And that I have a few white spots on the brain. But they can't tell me why I get the swishing in my ear. And this has been maybe 3 years I've had it.
Okay, so let me, what does this sound like? Can you describe it more specifically?
It sounds like there's water in there.
Okay, just like kind of a whooshing fluid, like waves type of thing? Okay,
yeah.
So the cella that they're talking about is a cella turcica. If you have a half of a cella turcica, that's the saddle that your pituitary sits in. And if you wanted to find it, if you open your mouth, you take your thumb, and you go to the roof of your mouth where the hard and soft palate come together, directly above that is where the cella turcica is. And so it sits in this little cup, the saucer. It's like a real tiny spoon, and that's where that pituitary gland is. So it would be unusual, unless there was a destructive lesion going on, that wasn't there since you were born. They would have found that on MRI and CAT scans and so forth, providing that you have competency in reading them. And I can't imagine you wouldn't. That's kind of straight up 101 when it comes to that sort of thing. The fact that you don't have anything that they can finger point to relative to a tumor is good news for you. The white spots on the brain, can I ask you your age? Do you mind?
I'm 70. I just turned 70.
Okay, so you and I are in the same decade. Those white spots can be due to a lot of different things. It can be through little small breaks in the blood supply, little small veins or arteries getting clogged up. That can be an indirect sign of that. Most people have them. It's not unusual when we hit that place in life. It can be calcification, unfortunately, due to things in our environment like chlorines and fluorides and so forth. They can cause tremendous damage. They can also harden the casing around the pineal gland as well, which most physicians don't look at. But that whooshing sound can come about as a result of a misalignment of the lower portion of the neck, the cervical spine, or basically the upper portion, cervical 1 and cervical 2, which sit right underneath that. Now, the important part of understanding there is you have blood vessels that go right up through the spine at that level. Then they come together at the back of the brain. They form something called the basilar artery, or the artery that supplies the base or the back portion of the brain. But they also supply much of the ear itself and the inner ear. So if that blood supply is not working the way it's supposed to, there's a lot of symptoms that can be associated with it. What you're describing is one of them, but also headaches and dizziness and off-centeredness and so forth. All of those can be consistent. A good diagnostic evaluation, which we do all the time because unfortunately we see way too much of this stuff, would tell you what it is. If that's it, it's very fixable. Sometimes if you're getting some hardening, some calcification around it, using low energy light laser with very specific nutrients and some therapeutics will also resolve the problem. So it's not something that is unusual. It's just when it comes to functional problems, traditional approaches sometimes don't pick it up. So you have to look at neurological functional considerations when it comes to it. Does that help you at all, Chris?
Yes. That's very interesting, actually. I actually twisted my two top vertebrae when I was like 10 years old.
There you go.
So,
listen,
you know,
I'd love to be able to help you out in any way. Give us a call, and we'll be able to tell with a very good history, evaluation, examination, the kind of work that we do, because as I said, we see, you know, where I see a lot of this with as well, Chris, is with intense athletes like football players and soccer players, because they're getting compressed constantly and their heads are being banged against things, particularly with soccer. And they show up with exactly the same type of process that you're complaining about right now. Chris, if we can help you, give us a call. I'd love to see if there's something that can be done effectively for you. Dr. Cowart, you know, I feel badly for her. This is something that we do see pretty regularly.
Yes, sir. It is. And I think you nailed it on the head with the types of people we see with that, with the severe athletes and or the people who had constant head trauma, whether it's like a massive head trauma or like the small repetitive head traumas like the soccer players. That's a very, very common thing to see with that type of presentation. I think you hit it spot on.
This Wednesday evening, the 24th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're right off the National Capitol Beltway. Come visit us. Come say hello. We're going to do a whole night on tinnitus. You know, that obnoxious sound that many of you have, unfortunately, way too many of us, Dr. Coward said earlier, up to 25% or more. Let's see what we can do to help you. Let's see what we can do to make a difference. At least you'll go home with the data. You'll go home with the information. You'll understand more about what it is. And that's why we do the program. We do this ongoing simply to give you the information that you deserve to need to have. So you're not afraid, so you don't think that you're dying of a tumor, that you're on your last leg. That's what we want to get done for you. Dr. Cowart, let's go back to what we were talking about relative to the liver and the kidney. We talked about the liver producing high-pitched sounds and the kidney producing low-pitched sounds. And what I want our audience to understand that it's not pathology, it's function that's causing the problem. Can you get into that a little bit more?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't tell you how many times a patient will bring in blood work from their general practitioner or whatever specialist that they saw. And the patient says, well, the doctor said everything's fine, but I still have X, Y, and Z symptoms. You know, and obviously in this case, we're talking about tinnitus. And so I look at it and there's a huge difference between pathology and function. And I think that's where, you know, I think we have really good success with our patients in our office is that we're constantly looking at the functionality of all these organ systems when looking at the blood work. I think the last time I was on the radio program, I used the analogy of a kid being in school to someone who is constant straight A's, straight A's, straight A's. And then they have like the one science class where they start to get like a B plus or a B minus, and you start to see their grades slip. Well, you don't want to wait until that kid is failing that class to get them a tutor. You want to get them a tutor as soon as you start seeing that trend that is decreasing. Your blood work works the exact same way, and so does all your organ systems. So there's a lot of places to see in a more fine-tuned manner on evaluation, whether it's blood work or clinical findings, that allow us to be able to get a more in-depth look as to what could be happening in the future if left untreated. And I think that's the difference there between the function versus the pathological patterns.
You know, the interesting thing, going back to the liver a little bit, when we hear these high-pitched squealing sounds sometimes, and we don't know where they're coming from and we're afraid. When you do an examination, you know, from our platform and we're asking questions and we're looking at facial configurations and so forth, it gives us a suspicion of where it's coming from. But if it's liver, we're dealing with phases of elimination of waste from the liver. It's called phases of detoxification. And although there's a lot of literature suggests there's multiple phases other than two, we focus on phase one, phase two. And it has to do a lot with the body's inability, because of stress patterns and damage, to be able to get rid of buildup of things. Estrogens are one and other hormones are another. And the damage done by toxins and alcohol and things of that nature. Too many drugs. There's so many people that are on drug after drug after drug. I've been seeing a ton of people complaining of tinnitus, as I said early on in the before, that are due to post-COVID presentations. There's ways of identifying that, and more importantly, there's ways of resolving the condition rapidly and quickly. It's something that we see all the time, and I'm really excited that you're going to do this program for our listeners this Wednesday evening, because it'll give them some tools, but also asking the question, is what I've been going through the last few years, is it related? Is this stress causing the problem? Is anxiety causing the problem? Are the drugs that I've been put on, the different vaccines and so forth, are they, there's a lot of suggestions, strong direction that says, in fact, that could be problematic. Let's talk a little bit. We've got a couple minutes left in the segment. I want to talk a little bit about the somatic pattern again, the physical pieces that cause these things to occur. How would somebody know that that might be possible for them? What would they be looking for?
Sure. So obviously someone who has tinnitus and they may be suspicious that it could be a structural problem that's causing it. Basically, you'll be looking for other patterns, other symptoms to go along with it at the same time the tinnitus is happening. So, you know, your typical upper neck or mid neck pain, that's a really common one. Any kind of neck stiffness or tension, that would be one. Anyone that's constantly grinding or clenching their jaw, can also be contributed to it as well. People who may have chronic ear infections, that could be part of it.
Hold that thought because we're coming up to a break, and we'll pick this up when we come back after it. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're at the Arlington County Fair. Come down and say hello. We'll be right back after some very, very important messages. Don't go away.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard at high noon. We're always here for you. We'd like to thank you for listening. Those of you on the West Coast that reach out, and some of you in different places of the world, it's really uncanny. It's amazing. But thank you for your attention. And as always, you know, our men and women in service are the most important to us. And anything that we can do for you to help you, we're there immediately. Just let us know and we'll make it happen. My guest today, Dr. Jerry Cowart. We're talking about things that go buzz in your ear and sometimes high ding sounds and whooshing sounds and cricket sounds and all kinds of sounds. And we're trying to distinguish the different types of tinnitus, if you will, and how they affect you, and that some of them can come from other disease processes and some of them can come from injuries. Some of them can come from functional disturbances. We're going to get a little bit more into that in a second or two, but this Wednesday evening, the 24th, Dr. Jerry Cowart will be your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing, and he's going to be talking about this specific subject. So if you've been putting up, like 25 to 30% of you deal with tinnitus of one sort or the other, it's not okay, particularly when it can go away and it can make a difference. Let us be your guide and show you how this takes place. Dr. Cowart, welcome back again. Let's get back into this a little bit and talk about, you know, we're distinguishing that liver function condition and somatic problems and kidney problems. And so we said the kidneys, you know, a very low sound, the liver is a very high sound. And we said it's usually due to functional disturbances. Let's go with that. And then we're going to wrap that up. But before we do that, I want you to let everybody know what it is that you're going to do, what you're going to focus on this coming Wednesday evening and why they should be there with you.
I think that's a perfect way to kind of sum that up is obviously there is all of the visceral components that we've talked about so far with the kidney and the liver. We're going to go into in depth with those two pieces during the lecture. And then obviously we're going to sum up all the different structural pieces that can be contributing to the tinnitus with the cranial misalignments, the TMJ distortions, the upper cervical misalignments, all those different pieces. We're going to talk about that as well. We'll talk about the neurological components that can happen with the hearing loss, the actual vestibular portion, the cochlear portion. We'll talk about a few major disease processes that have tinnitus as a main symptom, such as the Meniere's disease and others. So we're going to end up wrapping up all those pieces together and go way more in depth, more than obviously we have time to do during the radio program. So that way you have a much better idea of what different pieces or multiple pieces your tinnitus that you're suffering from would be coming from, and all the solutions and natural treatments that we can use to remedy this for you and make it gone once and for all.
You know, I mentioned earlier in the program that one of the approaches that we use when it comes to tinnitus is low energy light laser. And it works very, very well, but also making sure that muscle contraction at the base of the skull and in the neck are relaxed and normalized. The combination. Right. One thing that we didn't talk about, and I meant to do so, was the deviation of the temporomandibular joint, TMJ. when that TMJ is off, it can cause not only crunching and cracking in the TMJ, which sounds like it's echoing from the ear itself, but it actually can cause problems because of restriction of fluid from the middle ear. It's not draining out properly, and subsequently we have issues. And I know you're going to talk a lot about, we're coming up to a break. Unfortunately, we're, you know, it's like way too quick. We're here at the Arlington County Fair. Coming down and visit and say hello. My staff is here. Would love to meet you. Love to shake hands with you. Remember, we continue to do this for one reason only, and we do it ongoingly. We love you all. You have a great day. We'll see you soon.